For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. A lot of unusual news. Elon Musk spent the weekend embroiled in a war of words with the government of Brazil. That's unusual from the world's richest man. I'm told that he's completely stable and a genius. The state GOP chair files three new initiatives to Washington voters. Well, that's a little unusual. His face, Jim Walsh, looking at that guy, he looks surprised. That's an unfortunate picture that the Seattle Times
certainly
decided
is.
To use for Jim Walsh. Very unusual choice. But you know, it's not unusual. Mr. John Curley.
Hello, my friends. Hello.
On a Tuesday afternoon. How are you, sir? Are you well?
Great. I'm great.
How are the steroids?
How are we doing? Everything all right in there? Huh?
Well, I'm doing wonderful. Thanks, John. Great, yeah.
John, steroids going well for you? You feeling peppy?
Best invention since the 40s.
You know, I do enjoy steroids myself, but things that I don't enjoy are people who lose control on steroids. That's a good segue, because Alec Baldwin is being accused of losing control on the Rust set and lied about his actions. This is according to prosecutors in the case against Alec Baldwin in the fatal shooting of a cinematographer. So basically, the long and the short of it breaks down like this. He's making the movie Rust at Bonanza Creek in Santa Fe. He is holding a gun, which is supposed to have blanks in it, and he then points it while rehearsing the scene at the camera, and he fires said gun, or it goes off randomly, according to Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
And one of those bullets kills the cinematographer. Now, he was indicted by a grand jury on a charge of manslaughter in January. He has pled not guilty. John, I got to ask you about this. I've never been on a movie set with guns in this way. I'm curious if you have, or what's your read of this? Because I think that he's got a certain amount of plausible deniability here in terms of, hey, man, I was just the actor. How am I supposed to know if there's a live round in it or not a live round in it, right?
Well, there is that, and also they told him not to fire the weapon. They said slowly take it out of the holster, point it towards so we can get a focus on the thing. He apparently showed up late to the instructions that were being given on how to handle the guns. The person who also reported that he was busy taking pictures and photos, sending it to his family, him with the guns, where he really wasn't listening.
Mm-hmm.
And there seemed to be just a bit of kind of chaos on the set. Most of the time he's yelling and screaming at people. Everybody remembers Alec Baldwin's famous conversation that he had over the phone with his daughter, screaming at her.
Calling her pig.
Yeah. So the guy's got a bit of a hothead, and why he decided to pull the trigger, who knows? But he could say, well, I you know, it was supposed to be a cold gun. They told me that. Well, even if they tell you that, just why pulling the trigger while you're pointing at somebody? So just an irresponsible guy with a gun, and a tragic ending. So, but it sounds like just chaos on the set, screaming and yelling at everybody.
Have you ever
hated him and stuff?
Have you ever been on a set with someone who's been unruly, or are you comfortable sharing that story? Like, who was someone that was just a real, not who you thought they were when you were working as an actor?
Yeah. A lot of people that you think, oh, look, this guy's going to be great to work with. They turn out to just really, but they might have been having a bad day, and they just might have not been in the best mood. So
as an example,
no.
Brian Dennehy, Donald Glover, mayhap.
Sure,
I don't know.
No.
Whoopi Goldberg.
And on sets with guns, which is really kind of fun to watch how those things, with all the fakes and the blanks and stuff like that, and how they fire them. And you're like, oh, look at that. Wow. And then they bring in normally two or three guys that teach everybody how to hold the gun. I was on what's that? Law and Order. Yeah,
Law and Order.
We followed those guys around. I got a chance to play a dead guy. Some of my best work, by the way.
Yes.
And then watching how they having the guys there, you know, showing, okay, hold the gun this way or not that way, but you know, fun on the set.
If everybody does what they're supposed to, if Baldwin doesn't show up late and pay attention.
Here's my question, though. Baldwin says that he didn't pull the trigger, and there's been many people on the internet who have way too much time on their hands, and so they got a hold of the same model that he was using, and they have tried every which way to get it to fire by banging it, by just dropping it down, by actually cocking it and not pulling the trigger and then dropping it. And what they have shown over and over and over again is that that model just doesn't do that. My concern is basically this. Baldwin, I think, he shoots and kills somebody. Mm-hmm. He's in a panic. The cops come. They say, "What happened?" He goes, "I don't know. I just dropped it into my hand and then it just went off."
Right.
Then all of a sudden that becomes the narrative. And he's got to stick to that narrative, because now if he says, "Yes, I pulled the trigger and I killed that person," that then it becomes a very different story as to whether or not he's culpable in this. But isn't it so weird that we now have a former A-lister, Jack Ryan, who now might potentially be getting jail time over what I think was probably an honest mistake? I don't think he intended to kill anybody. But
well, of course.
And on top of that, you have the set designer or whatever, and I was watching the footage from that or the firearms lady.
The armorist.
The armorist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm watching her case, and they showed a picture of the rack of bullets that are the blanks, and then in that rack, there are four live rounds that are just scattered amongst the rest of
which
them.
Which never should have been brought anywhere near the set, right?
Right. Yeah. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, I think that it's... John, do you think that this is like an ego thing that he's trying to protect himself, or do you think that this is he legitimately believes that he did not pull the trigger?
I think he has to believe that. And yeah. Apparently, his story has changed many times. I didn't pull the trigger. That's pretty easy or pretty hard to prove or not prove.
Yeah.
If a hammer was back on the thing and it happened to go off or whatever, just I didn't pull the trigger. No one has any evidence of it. So lie, deny, lie, deny. You can't prove that he pulled the trigger. They didn't do a test on, you know, anything else in the gun. So just don't take any responsibility at all. Nope. I didn't pull the trigger. As soon as you pull the trigger, then it's like, I got banned. I threw the flower pot out the window and it went down and hit somebody on the head, right? So yes, I threw the flower pot. Yes, I didn't intend to kill the person, you know, third degree manslaughter or whatever you charge the person with. But in this case, if you say you pulled the trigger, now all of a sudden you are admitting to the fact that you did something that endangered somebody's life, not intentionally, but, you know, so he just has to just simply say, nope, wasn't me. Didn't pull it. Don't know how it went off. Can't explain it. Guess nobody can.
Speaking of pulling the trigger, by the way, Elon Musk spent the weekend embroiled in a war of words with the government of Brazil. I think that Brazil has very different laws around free speech and harassment than the United States does. And recently there was a journalist who was fined for misgendering a trans person.
Right, right.
And also, quite frankly, being very, very rude and very, very cruel to said trans person. Mm-hmm. I think it was like a $500 fine, something like that. And they had to issue an apology and take down the social media post. So now you've got X as an organization, or Twitter, which is now being hauled in front of the Supreme Court in Brazil because they want to ask some questions about stuff. So
about guidelines and restrictions on that platform
that this guy abused.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And so when I look at this, John, my thought about it is this, is that Elon Musk likes to pretend like Twitter is a free speech platform, but it's really not. And he has gone out of his way to allow censorship on that platform depending on which country it's in, right? So he has allowed it in Hungary. He's allowed it in what's that other authoritarian state? It's slipping my mind right now.
Washington State?
No,
that's the one.
So it basically, Viktor Orban went to Elon Musk and said, if you want to have this social media platform in our country, you will censor dissidents. And Elon Musk said, you got it, because apparently he's all about free speech. His justification for which was saying, well, I want my platform to be worldwide, but at the same time, it's censored to such a degree to make it basically useless when we talk about free speech. So, I mean, do you see any of the contradictions in what Mr. Musk is trying to do, John?
I heard you the other day ripping on him.
Ripping.
The problem
is accurately describing is another way that I might put
it. Right. Ripping is fine. Nothing wrong with ripping. Going to rip a beer, you're still going to drink it. Just depends on how fast you do.
Right.
There are 15 billionaires own almost all the media in the United States, and they have other interests. And Elon Musk doesn't do anything with Twitter in China because he wants a lot of his Tesla stuff over there. The same thing with Turkey. He's cutting deals in Turkey because he wants his satellite stuff there. So, yeah, he's a businessman. And at a certain point, you know, these business guys, all of a sudden their idea of free expression, you know, ends just about where their bank account begins. So, you know, is it inconsistent? Sure. But, you know, that's up to him if he wants to do it. And it is erratic. His behavior is hard to explain. Some days he's like, well, everybody's in, then he fires this person, doesn't like this. I'm for free speech, but he's not really for free speech. He's kind of weird that the people on the right loved him, people on the left loved him first because he had the green cars, and then they don't love him as much. The people on the right now love him. Joe Rogan loves him. So he kind of bounces back and forth between, you know, what populist group he's being most applauded by.
Well, that's my issue with him, though, John, is that I know that a lot of people accuse me of being unfair to him, but that's because I think that other people basically do apologetics for him, and I think that that's even worse. When you go around and you say free speech is very important, except for when it comes to my bottom line, when you go in front of the whatever business consortium and you say to the world, you're going to try to blackmail me with advertising, you're going to try to blackmail me with advertising revenue, and he tells everybody to go blank themselves, you know, and then you turn around and you capitulate to the presuppositions of authoritarians, that to me is an unstable person. That is a deeply unwell human being, right? That's someone that's not talking about being inconsistent. That's just flat out hypocrisy. Not only that, but you're also saying that you would support your profits over the free expression of other human beings, which is what...
Sure, because you have to pay for the platform.
But that's why people hated Twitter in the first place, John. That's why people hated Twitter in the first place.
I got it. But he has interest in Turkey. He has interest in China. You know, when John Henry bought the Boston Globe, he also owned the Red Sox.
Right.
And people are like, oh, my God, now the Boston Globe. How are they going to treat the Red Sox? Like, it's a very small example.
Right.
But even when Bloomberg's comes out with the top 500 billionaires or millionaires, they don't even mention Michael Bloomberg, even though he's worth 42 or 50 some billion dollars. His name's not on the list. Listen, when you own media, but that you also have other businesses, these conflicts will arise. And he is not a perfect person. And yes, he's erratic and irascible and, you know, uncouth at times. Oh, I'm going to waive the thing of free speech, but then all of a sudden block this person or that. It doesn't make any sense. But
right.
I'd rather have him do it than Joe Biden's administration.
Okay. So, but let me recontextualize this really quick.
Uh-huh.
LeBron James is a big supporter of BLM.
Right,
and he was
right.
Like, we need to prevent the subjugation of all people all across the world, and BLM is preventing the subjugation of Black Americans in the United States. At the same time, the company that makes his sneakers, Nike, has a factory in China, which is run by the Uyghur Muslim group, which are basically slave laborers, right? Mm-hmm. So they're held basically as prisoners for their religious beliefs. And then they are forced to work in a factory which produces these Nike shoes, which has made him a billionaire. He will not say a word about China criticizing those people because he knows where his money comes from. He is deserved of a tremendous amount of criticism for being that hypocritical, right? As a matter of fact, he's deserved of a decent amount of disdain for taking those profits from people who are literally slaves while turning around and talking about how awful America is. Would we not hold Elon Musk to the same standard instead of saying, well, LeBron, he's irascible and he's just a little inconsistent is the thing about LeBron James, but he does good. I'd rather have him making Nike sneakers other than the Biden administration, right? I mean, it's like you have to have
how do you want to hold him responsible? What are you going to do, shun him in the public square, not buy his sneakers? Sure, do whatever you want. But Elon Musk does provide products that people want to buy, and they're able to overlook some of the stuff. They can't find Turkey on the map, and what do they care about what's happening anywhere else? It's like, just give me a car that I don't have to charge every 15 minutes, and I'll buy it.
All right.
It's the same thing with Apple. Like, Apple's completely hypocritical stance when it comes to, oh, you know, we want freedom for people here and all the poor, you know, minorities in the country. How about in China? How about all the people in China building all of your Apple phones over there? Why don't you give those 7-year-olds a break every once in a while?
How dare you? I love my Apple iPhones. How dare you, John?
They put the nets up for the jumpers, John. How much more do they got to do?
That's true. That's true. Yeah. They catch them in the net and drag them
right back
in
the word. Break's over.
Get back in there. Yeah.
Speaking of people catching people in a net, that's a bad segue. Ignore that segue. Throw that segue away. Speaking of news, the state GOP chair files 3 new initiatives to Washington voters. What are these 3 initiatives, John? And why do they matter?
Because squatters.
Okay.
It's the idea of if I own a piece of property, you can't steal from me daily.
I like it.
Kick them out. Same thing they're working on Florida and Texas. Sanctuary states. So we have a problem. It's the number one polling issue for voters this year will be illegal immigration and the squatter rights in the state of Washington that if you're local, you have to report these guys to ICE and get them out of the country. And those are the two. And then the other one.
The other
is
one's the gas ban.
The climate cult.
Yeah,
the gas ban, right.
The
natural gas ban.
We call them breathers, John.
Yeah,
breathers.
We call them breathers, right?
Yeah.
So I think everybody agrees on the squatters thing. That's gotten way out of control in Washington State. I mean, if you type it into any news search, you're going to see people complaining top to bottom about that issue. I actually saw a video of this guy who's got this new business in California where he goes around.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen this, Spike?
No, it's like a de-squatting business?
Yeah, so what he does is that the owner of the house gives him power of attorney, which in California law is a loophole, because if you have power of attorney, you can enter the premises to check that asset, right? Okay. So he goes in there as the power of attorney, and he just starts throwing stuff out that is not not part of that property.
Loving this.
And then he puts new locks on the doors, and Californians are now, the crazy leftists are trying to get that loophole closed. But there's no way that's going to happen, because how are you going to say you can have power of attorney over these assets, but then you have no control over those assets? That is such a bad legal framework that it's wrought with problems. John, are any of these initiatives you want passed through more than another one, or you want all three of them all the way through?
I'd like to see them get rid of that 1589 with the natural gas thing, but that won't go. But the squatters thing will probably go, because it's easy. You can point to you just think about how they're going to be able to frame these commercials, because that's what's going to move people. The commercial comes up, you see the guy, especially that Indian, the guy that's got the $2 million house in Bellevue.
Yeah.
A very sympathetic character, and squatters, it's hard to defend those. So that one will probably win. The gas one won't, too complicated for people, and the big money that's going to be pouring in from the climate cult will make sure that one doesn't go through. And the sanctuary city as well, the sympathetic people, poor people, boy, if we out them, then they're going to be in the shadows. We can't help them. That one will lose, but the squatter one will win.
Yeah, I think so, John, and we appreciate your time, my friend. I mean, that's a great
both of you. Now, in your own right, both of you. Sure, Spike, you and you, Jack.
I appreciate you more, John. I appreciate you.
Why is it a competition of appreciation? All
because
of
I win. I always win. I always come out on top. All right. Mr. John Curley can be heard Monday through Friday on the John Curley Sherry Ellicker radio program. Not a show. It's infotainment. Don't call it a show. It's not. It's a program. John gets very upset when you call it a show.
Really?
He doesn't like it. He says, when you call it a show, it's not a show. It's a miscategorization.
Is it objectified, John, when it's a show? He's on performance for us.
He prefers it to be called, so I call it a program.
Nice.
It's a fine radio program that John does. I don't know if there's any listeners out there who listen on a regular basis, but earlier we were talking about bikini baristas.
Yeah.
One of them agreed to come in tomorrow.
Oh, nice. Perfect.
So we're going to talk to a bikini barista tomorrow. Brian will be upset with me because he says never tease things 24 hours in advance. But that's okay. I'm going to do it anyway to kill some time. Three teens were charged in a rent-in crime spree after an attempted carjacking and then a crash. There's a story that links with this one about, can AI help fill the therapist shortage? These two stories are linked.
Really?
Within Cells Interlinked. Name the movie. Within Cells Interlinked. That's because you're culturally illiterate, Spike, and you don't know. Andrew, do you know?
Yes, I do know.
What's the answer?
It's Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah. Oh, the new one? Oh, I don't do remakes.
Within Cells Interlinked. When we get back, right after this. Teens were charged in a rent-in crime spree after an attempted carjacking. They are ranging in age from 12 to 16. Now, there was a total of five of them, but two of them got away.
Yeah, well, one wasn't charged because there was no criminal history involved with this young man.
Yeah, that's too bad.
But the 12 and those guys all had records. There were multiple guns involved.
Yeah, and I know that there's a lot of people out there who are going to say, well, obviously, prison is the best thing for those kids. And I would say no, because if you have a kid who's committing crime and they are, robbing people, and if they are stealing cars, this is a youth who's deeply mentally ill, right? This is antisocial personality disorder.
Yeah.
This is, probably a long-storied history of abuse and things of that nature. So this is why I think that Bob Ferguson had kind of the right idea by saying no juvenile detention centers, but then the worst idea by saying, well, we'll put these kids in residential neighborhoods. That'll make perfect sense, right?
That doesn't seem safe for anybody.
So we need to bring back healthcare for youth, criminal youth, in this way. What really disturbed me, there was a texter who texted in about this issue a couple weeks ago, and they said, we need jail for kids who just don't get it, right? That was the summation of their entire argument.
Yeah.
Kids who just don't get it. the reason these kids don't get it is because they have been let down by the people who are supposed to love and care for them the most. This is mom and dad, right? This is, they've been let down by not only mom and dad, but also society as a whole. So when you talk about criminalizing that kind of behavior, you know, or criminalizing that kind of youthful mental illness, you're not actually fixing it, right? It's, they're not going to just miraculously get it. They're not going to have a sense of self-worth or self-love by going to prison, because that just doesn't happen. So I wanted to pair this with another story, because there's a story over at CBS. It says, can AI help fill the therapist shortage? Mental health apps show promise and pitfalls. I say this is maybe one of the worst ideas I've ever seen.
Really?
AI therapy is maybe one of the worst concepts. It's a chat bot, which you put a prompt into, and then it procedurally generates psychotherapeutic answers, which is maybe the most anti-therapy thing I've ever heard of in my life.
Okay. Did you know when I went to college, you probably don't know this, initially it was to become a therapist. I wanted to study psychology and sociology and become, I wanted to help people.
Okay. You want to be an LMFT.
Yeah.
Okay.
I took just a year and a half of class before I switched.
Yeah.
But it's the study of humanity. It's a study of how people, human nature. That to me, that's what I got from my initial education into sociology and psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how an AI bot will be able to understand and read people. It's an analytics,
it's math, right?
Yeah.
So what therapy is it's designed to be relational, and it's intentionally irrelational. So what that means is that I bring something to my therapist and I pay them, or my insurance company pays them, to not be judgmental about whatever it is that I bring them. It's that they are being intentional with their desire to be relational. Mm. That's why they allow you the space to talk about your issues in this very non-judgmental way. This is why people often say, my cat's my best friend. I tell them everything, right?
Because he keeps secrets.
Yeah, because he keeps secrets.
Yeah.
It's this idea that I am paying somebody to be impartial about my life. Problem with that is that an AI can be impartial, an AI can be intentional, an AI cannot be relational, specifically not a chat bot. Right.
Yeah.
So, for instance, when you're dealing with psychotherapy, how is it possible that a 16-year-old or a 12-year-old can be relational with a procedurally generated response to?
Right. They'll just tell the chatbot what it wants to hear. It'll hear the right answer. It'll move on to the next logical step in therapy. Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'll give you another example, too. I mean, like when you bring something to a therapist, it is their job to help you untie the Gordian knot. Does that make sense? Their job to help you loosen the knot and help you understand all the threads that go into that occurrence or trauma or whatever it is.
We called it a bag of snakes.
Same thing. I mean, okay. So if you got a 16-year-old who's stealing cars, they probably have antisocial personality disorder. They have no idea what it means to empathize with somebody else. They have no idea what it means to care for no conception of it whatsoever. They have no idea how to relate to another human being. And then you're going to plot them down in front of a chat bot that's going to say, try sports and go to church. Eat healthy foods, young man.
Your mom.
So the problem with these kids is that the kind of therapy that they need when they're engaging in this kind of behavior is a kind of therapy that involves a reconstruction of what it means to have a personality, which takes years. Okay. It takes years, likely two or three times a week of going to therapy, of having that person understand this is what it means to hurt another person, because they have no conception of it, because they just don't care. People with antisocial personality disorder view other human beings as tools, as things to use, as things to operate with, okay, not as I might hurt this thing or I might damage this person or whatever it is.
Is there any place in therapy from an AI perspective, like the easy stuff, the entry level stuff, maybe? Because there's a shortage of therapists.
I don't think there's any such thing as entry level therapy. You know what I mean?
Like, even just to get the initial, you're going to need to see one of our supervisors.
No,
you've merited time with a human.
No, I mean, like therapy as a model, as a model of discourse, is meant to be, I share these things with another human being that are so dark and so shameful that I keep them to myself, right?
Right.
And the problem with when we keep shame or when we keep pain away from other people, it tends to fester. It tends to become very cyst-like. And therapy is the needle that pops that, right?
Let's the sun in, right?
Right. And so when you're trying to move through therapy, like the worst kind of therapists are the ones that say, "What do you think that means? What do you think that that represents? Well, what do you think about what if you're not a therapist's job is to take what you give them and then they reinterpret it and then say, well, what about this perspective or what about that perspective or have you considered this or what were the underlying things that led to that reaction in your life? Does this have anything to do with your mom or your dad? Like human beings are complex, but they're not that complex. I mean, I could do therapy on anybody, right? Because I've been in and out of therapy since I was 16.
The text line number is 888-97.
Exactly.
No, I'm kidding,
right.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, and honestly, the most people, what they deal with when they're attempting to navigate through therapy is they're dealing with shame and they're dealing with suffering. And what the therapeutic model is supposed to do is to tell that person that suffering is a part of the human condition and to suffer is a good thing. Insofar as you do something with it, and it's not shameful to suffer. As soon as people realize that, and within therapy, all of a sudden it goes, oh, wow, okay, so then I can make meaning out of the abuse that I suffered as a child or the domestic violence that I incurred when I was married to that awful person, whatever it might be.
Right.
It's that your suffering has meaning and you do not need to suffer alone, which is a beautiful way of speaking that a robot cannot do.
Right. We started the story by talking about the three youth in Renton.
Yeah.
And the chief of police down in Renton said, and I understand his point of view, you know, we have a situation we need to be focused on solutions, and that includes accountability for actions. Can therapy be, can that be a form of accountability?
Yeah.
Does it have to be punitive? Because I'm...
Well, I mean, no offense to the fine sheriff, but when you talk about accountability, these kids have no conception of what that is. They literally have none. So this is a fairly antiquated and draconian way of looking at this, where you have underdeveloped minds that have no idea what it means to be accountable. And so what you do is you punish them for basically their ineptitude and their ignorance, which is, I mean, a way of doing it. It's got a, I don't know how many hundreds of years of showing that it, let me check my notes, doesn't work.
Clearly.
So
yeah.
This is a model that we need to get away with or to move away from.
Yeah.
Get away from. I mean, we simply cannot have this. I understand that, you know, you've got connection in a gun store burglary. You've got probable cause for burglary, too. Malicious mischief.
Right.
Theft in the second degree. Juvenile. I mean, I understand that this is, you know, very difficult crimes. But locked care would serve these kids a whole lot more here's a juvenile detention center where you'll probably get sexually abused. You'll probably be taken advantage of. You probably won't get any proper care whatsoever. You might even not be medicated appropriately for whatever condition you're in because the state just doesn't have the funds for it.
And I mean, I'm sure community screaming for safety and accountability if given the option of, hey, we've got a professional health, locked professional health care.
Yeah.
I suppose we don't just sit on this kid until he becomes a worse version of himself and then release him back in your community. We're trying to actually solve this problem.
I'll give you a really quick example. I saw there's a piece of footage out of Texas that was released. It was courtroom proceedings. 17-year-old kid is getting 25 years incarceration. Now, he had probation 3 times, and he chose to steal a dirt bike and then try to rob somebody with a stolen gun. And the judge says, I do not want to do this. I do not want to give you this sentence. I have no choice but to give you the mandatory minimum for this sentencing. It is 25 years of his life. Is that 17-year-old better served by 25 years in prison or, let us just say, 5 years of intensive inpatient locked care? What's cheaper? What's more effective? What's going to produce a citizen that can come out and have a job and have a normal life and reflect on their behavior? People who shill for the prison industrial complex have no idea what they're talking about, and the pushback that I get on this is always like embarrassingly bad. So,
well, it sounds like the judge knew what he'd rather be able to give the kid.
Was a lady judge,
or a lady, which she would rather give the kid.
She wanted to give the kid something else.
Some health care,
right.
some supervised locked health care.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a way to solve this issue, but it's not the way that we're doing it now.
And bots ain't the answer.
And bots, robots are not the answer. We'll take a really quick break, and we shall talk about what? Oh, Dolly Parton's coming to Washington State, but not in the way that you think.
Yeah, you can't buy tickets.
Speaking of prison, by the way. Her program, the Imagination Library,
yes,
doing great things in Washington State. We're going to talk about it when we get back right after this. Oh, yeah, Deep Voice guy was right about that. We do have digital exclusive content because there's too much show for just 3 hours. So we put up digital content every single day at the Cairo Radio YouTube channel. It's the Jack and Spike YouTube channel because we're better than the Cairo Radio YouTube channel. Put more effort into our content than those people over there with their content that they put up. We put up A+, top tier, 4 HD, whatever style. What is it? What's the 1080? Is it HD? What is it, Laura? You know more than I do.
1080. I don't know.
Only 1080? You're fired. All right.
I don't know, man.
Should be 4K. So Dolly Parton's Imagination Library is a program that mails books to children age 0 to 5 for free. There's no cost to the family. Yep. It's a really cool program. And that Dolly Parton's Imagination Library partnered with the Washington State Department of Corrections because they wanted to get books into the visiting rooms for incarcerated people. Children. So when you go to visit your children in prison, meaning that your children are brought to you,
right.
There's
right.
a book in
your
there.
Kids are in prison.
And this is what Cheryl Strange said. She said, "We know that strong bonds between parent and child are crucial for successful reentry. This partnership allows us to promote healthy relationships and positive memories that will last a lifetime, and also promotes literacy at an early age when it's most important to foster a love for reading. This is very cool. Thank you, Dolly Parton, for being a living saint." And again, all the books are free for the kids.
You know, it's National Library Week. Did you know that this week?
I hate this week.
In a time when libraries have never been under attack more than they are today.
I hate reading.
Do you know that Dolly Parton has given away almost a quarter of a billion? In the 30 years that this project's been, that Dolly started this?
Yeah.
Almost a quarter billion books.
That's
have been
cool.
given away for free.
That's
3 million cool. books a month this organization mails out, and it's all Dolly.
And still yet nobody reads. Andrew, what was Isn't the last crazy? Book that you read?
I'm currently reading A Tale of Two Cities right now, actually.
What? A Tale of Two Cities?
Yeah.
Okay, you can stay. Nate, what are you reading right now? You reading anything?
Yeah, it's just a very boring book to you guys. It's called Traffic.
What's it about?
Traffic.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's good, I guess. Yeah. Laura, you reading anything?
Yeah, I'm on the second book of the Fourth Wing series.
Is that a girl's book?
Yeah, kind of.
Is it angels or demons or vampires?
It's dragons.
Dragons?
Yeah.
Whoa. What is it about girls reading about dragons and vampires and whatnot?
It's fun.
Okay, all
Plus,
right.
Real men have made life so horrible for women in this world. They need a little fantasy once
Spike,
in a while.
Sometimes I hate you so much. So what are you reading right now?
You know what?
Spike?
I got to tell you, I am a slow reader.
No.
I'm a very slow reader. So I've fallen to books on tape.
Okay.
Which I'm doing a lot of these days.
We call that the John Curley.
Is that what they call it? Oh,
we
really?
We call that the John Curley.
See, because I find the only time I have to really read is when I'm commuting, traveling, driving.
Mm-hmm.
So I put a tape on and a book on tape on. And that's how I get my literature.
Problem I read all of Desert Solitaire that way.
Did you?
Gardening
Bed.
On my porch, book on tape. Okay.
I read a lot of books about Nazis.
Really?
Yeah.
So that you don't, so that you learn from the past and don't make the same mistakes twice?
I mean, personally. I think Hitler did lots of great things. No, for whatever reason, Amazon just because I read The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich.
Okay.
And then they send me more recommendations.
Oh, yeah.
You
yeah,
might
yeah.
like this. And I go, I want to read about Hitler's medical history. I want to read about this thing about the Nazis. And now I'm just neck deep in Nazis. Andrew, A+ today, my friend. Nate Connors. Dang.
Yes, sir.
Is that a fitted button up?
Yes,
thing?
Sir. Well, the vice president's in town today, so I had to, shave and everything.
Right? Kamala Harris is here?
I feel like your biceps are just bursting out of that.
I tried not to show them
Dang,
off.
Dang, Nate Connors, this is a workplace. Can't be brandishing in here, my friend. Laura, A+. Spike, we'll give you a solid C+ today. Great job. Here's your quote of the day.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Bynesworth's nightmare is a bicycle.
Anything after 3 in the afternoon.
Bynesworth's nightmare is when Jill Biden is...
Not there to tell him which way to walk at the end of a sentence?
Yes! Bynesworth's nightmare is this phrase. You ready for this? Pardon me, Mr. President. Do you have a moment for a quick question?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.